On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Okay, welcome to 2015 and to a brand new Talking Tech with the Techie Guy show. That's going to happen every Monday at this time between 10 and 11. But don't worry, TG Squared hasn't been knocked off the air. That's been moved to 2 o'clock today. That's with Trevor Gumby and Nina Hasty. So TG Squared has been moved out. Please do not phone in and say you don't sound the same. So it's 2015 kicking off with a bang. We are at Cliff Central Talking Tech, and today we have got Tanya Kowalski in studio. How's it, Tanya?
Hi, Leroy. Happy New Year.
And to you.
And thanks for getting me out my office.
Yeah, it looks
on the first day of the work year.
This is the way to start the day. You got to start it here. That's the only way to do this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So whilst every other technology show this side of the Mississippi is going to be starting talking about trends and analysis for the year, we on Cliff Central do things a lot different, and we decided to say not so much. And we ain't doing that. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be focusing on something called New Year's resolutions. You know that list that's basically you make at 11:59 on the 31st, and by January the 3rd it's pretty much a to-do list that you've forgotten about. But one thing that always comes out is people want to change a career. People want to do something new, they want to do something different, and they swear that this is the year that it's going to happen. And with technology, you know, it can actually happen. So on our show today, we're going to be focusing about looking at, you know, starting a blog, and can you make money off it? A lot of us are doing it. Is it simple? Is it hard? What do you have to do into that? We've also got a guy coming in who is going to talk to us about programming and development, but we ain't doing the geeky thing. We're not going to jargon. We're not going to kind of make it boring. It's going to be practical stuff that you can use and use today. So that's coming up in our show. It's quite a packed show, so we better, I suppose, get cracking into that. One of the things that I just want to quickly mention is that during this holiday, you know, we're all over the place and everybody seems to be traveling and doing their thing. One piece of tech, I mean, and then Tanya, you can bear me out because I think you've used this as well. There's a piece of tech that actually saved me completely, and that piece of tech was a Huawei 5730 device. Okay, and yeah, okay, what is that? I'm glad you asked.
And how did it save you?
Okay, effectively, I was in a place that had basically no connectivity whatsoever, and being a techie, that's just a no-no. Effectively, what this is a little piece of kit that you stick a SIM card into. It becomes a hotspot for up to 10 devices, and it gives you connectivity.
So, sorry, to backtrack, a phone SIM card or
yes.
a data SIM
so
card?
So it's a phone SIM card. It's a regular SIM card.
Okay.
And then all you do is you simply load data onto it. So the Vodacom in this particular case had a promotion. 599 Rand gave you 10 gigs of data. You transferred it to your SIM card, and then you were ready to rock and roll.
Okay, and ready to post those Facebook pictures.
And lots
was 10 gigs enough for your Facebook and Instagram pictures?
So here's what happened. Okay. I first loaded 5 gigs because I thought, who could use more than 5 gigs? But what I didn't realize was my kids watched YouTube videos, but not the 20-second clips that we have or the one-minute clips. They watched an hour clips. Anyway.
Which aren't exactly clips, are they?
Yeah, so 5 gigs went pretty quickly, so I had to go 10 gigs and ban YouTube. So I wasn't too popular, but it did the trick. Hey? This little device, stuck it on a really high spot, got a really good signal. Now, what was really cool about that is that, you know, there's lots of MiFi devices, as they're called, that create a hotspot. What was really awesome about this device is that you can actually charge your cell phone from this unit. So it does two tasks. It creates the hotspot, but also back charges your phone. So really, really awesome. And when I say saved me, I had a client that was down over the holidays, and I had to fix it. And I wasn't traveling back to Joburg just to do that. And it literally just did the trick.
Is it something you'd use only when you're in remote areas, or would you use it day to day to save money?
Okay, I think that's an awesome question, because the you know, when you travel and you're out of the office, what do? Do you use the hotspots? Security is a problem. So I'm actually starting to now carry this. It's small, fits in your bag. Why just not use it, you know, whenever you're out of the office?
Okay. And you'll carry on buying Vodacom data or
That's the cool thing about prepaid is that who's got the best deal? Let's use those devices or that data bundles that is available at the moment, no? I think that's the advantage of that. And you, on your side, what's any cool holiday technology that you came across?
Yeah, it would I mean, I've raved on the show about all my fitness trackers, yes. But the latest one that I'm wearing at the moment, and I'm actually trying to track steps as I sit here, so I'm just going to shake my hand around and get steps that way. It's the Fitbit Charge.
This is a new Fitbit.
Yeah, right? You've got the Fitbit Flex. Yes. This is the latest one, and what I love about it is, you know, with the Flex where you can press a button and see your stats or the time, this one you can press it, so I can tell you what the time is, I can tell you how many steps I've done today.
Okay, hold on, but without hooking up to a phone?
Without hooking up to a phone.
Okay,
it's a standalone device, but it does link up to a free app on any phone and on any computer.
Okay, but
so I can tell you how many kilojoules I've burnt. Not a lot. Okay, so I need to get moving here.
Okay, so
going to exercise
what is really cool though is that, and this is my issue with the previous, with the one that I've got, is that you always had to get any data out of that. You had to hook it up to something.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I think it was a great device, and it did motivate you, and it kind of said, "Wow, I did 14,000 steps today. Just that's great." So it did do its task. But he had to be connected to something.
Yeah. So
Whereas this is just
access quite easily.
Mass.
And I must say, since the 23rd of December, I've been doing 10,000 steps a day, thanks to this. Granted, some nights I've had to do star jumps in my bedroom, and you know, walk the dog, run the dog. I've actually thought about hooking it onto my dog's tail and letting my dog accumulate steps for me. But that's just cheating.
Yeah.
No, I'm missing the point. But I do love it. Yeah.
And charging battery wise.
This actually lasts for, they say, 9 days. It lasted me for 10 days. I wasn't even notified that the battery was low, so I don't think it was on
that
critical level yet. And I just charge it because, you know, I'm like that. But yeah, really good battery life.
Okay, cool. Just a quick interlude as well. You know, we always like to get people to come in and kind of give us an opinion or get in touch with us. So if you want to do that, 0861-555-189 is the studio number. Okay, that's this thing called a telephone. Okay, if you're into tweeting, so it's at cliffcentral.com, Instagram Cliff Central, Facebook Cliff Central, and the WeChat ID is Cliff Central as well. And speaking of WeChat, Brandon has just sent a message saying, "Is this a tech show?" Yes, it is. And he's made an awesome point about he had his holiday ruined, it would seem, because of the Christmas Xbox being live and PlayStation Network was off. Very uncool. For those hardcore gamers who were so looking forward to doing absolutely nothing for 2 weeks besides Red Bull and pizza and adult nappies, and they were really keen to kind of sit in their rooms and not find a girlfriend, that holiday was in Sheshi. Brandon, I'm not saying it was you. I'm just making a general comment. But yes, it was. It really, really did suck. People really were very, very upset about the fact that something that you can rely on day in and day out was down yet again. And were a couple of networks that were actually down. So it did actually screw up quite a few people's holidays plans. And a lot of people got for Christmas, they obviously would have got the latest Far Cry or the latest games and keen to kind of battle it out with their mates, and just wasn't happening. So I didn't have experienced that problem.
What did you use for entertainment since you blocked YouTube on your devices?
Yeah, about that. Funny enough, I actually did an iPad challenge a little while ago where I was only allowed to use an iPad Air 2.
Yeah, and the newest. The newest one.
I mean, those you know me know that I don't have any Apple devices, so it was really quite a frightening experience. But I must say, I've actually kind of really getting to grips with what's going on with that. And I happened to be at the Vaal River, so one thing was very important for me was weather reports, to know whether I was skiing that day or whether I was playing Xbox that day. But that device really came in handy, and I must say it. I'm actually getting more and more a fay with it, and the fact that the iPad actually does integrate into absolutely everything that I do, so like Dropbox and even Google. So and there's a whole misconception of, yes, if you're going to do an Apple, you're into the Apple ecosystem, and then you're screwed. Or if you do Android,
I think you used to say that.
Admittedly so. Until I've got to this level, and recently with Microsoft making it available, Office available across the Apple devices, I think it's made a world of a difference. So for those who haven't tried it and were listening to the hype, don't give it a bash. I think it's worthwhile doing it. And on that note, let's take a quick song break and see what's up.
CliffCentral.com.
www.radiofunradio.com. We stumble, we bow, we trip. Times like hipsters in the night. Times like hipsters in the night. You drink, we don't. We love, you won't. Times like hipsters in the night. Like hipsters in the night. And it's like, don't you ever stress the could haves. Baby, if it should have, it would have. I get a good laugh from people showing up at mealtime. And then they disappear at mealtime. We tryna eat like it's Thanksgiving or something. But I don't like looking like Thanksgiving to someone. And Cali switching up, tryna Aunt Vivian something. Looking for the money like Ben Frank living or something. Where that?
Why does this system realize it?
All right, so that was awesome double play. That was Fallout Boy with My Song Knows What You Did and Jordan Bratton with Danger. That was quite a lekker vibe to get into our next mode. And we're talking about, you know, can you make money off blogging? So, you know, I run a technology blog called thetechieguy.com. Tanya runs a blog called Rattle and Mom. And we're very much different worlds, different industries. Yes, you know, there will be some kind of crossover. You know, I got kids, so I'll be something to do with kids. Technology obviously infiltrates into every aspect of everybody's lives. So on Tanya's blog, there'll be Rattle and Mom. It will reference technology as well. So a common question that we often asked is, can you make money off blogging? Is it a real thing? You know, people see people, you know, bloggers going overseas, being sent overseas, getting free stuff, and everybody wants in on the action. Is it really that simple? So I think our discussion today is going to be revolve around, can you actually make a living blogging? Is South Africa ready for it? And there isn't a right and a wrong answer, but it's just an approach to doing it. So, Tans, I think let's kind of kick off into the obvious question. Can you make money off blogging?
I don't know. Can you? No. So, yeah, I guess you can. I think, and I'm sure you've noticed this as well, when you go to tech conferences and events around the world, you know, Canadians, Americans, a lot of them, their full-time job is blogging. They're very forward. They're being paid to blog, and that's what they do all day. I think we're getting there. I'm not really sure I know of anyone who's self-employed simply by blogging. As much as we'd all love to sit, you know, on our couches and watch series while blogging and paying our bonds off it, okay. I don't know if that's a if that's really happening in South Africa yet. I think one or two I think To Ocean's Vibe, he's the, I think he proclaimed a couple of years ago that he wants to live off blogging, and he is, and he does. But I guess the starting question is, yeah, you can make money, but how do you do it? And that's a $1 million question. Everyone always says, before they've even started the blog, can I make money? And my answer is always, well, you need to set up a blog first. That's your starting point.
Okay, so let's take it kind of a step back as well. Blogging is across all industries. I mean, it's across, from personal to public to private to anything. So if you're a writer, and you don't have to be a good writer, you just have to be yourself, I suppose. It's kind of the key message here is when you do set up something up, you've got to say, who is your audience? What are you trying to say? What is your message? Are you going to be more of the same?
Yeah.
Are you going to do niche stuff? Are you going to kind of get into a vibe where you're simply copying and pasting press releases and kind of saying, oh, look, I have a blog? What is the angle, that each individual blog likes to take? And once you start that, I think that's the starting point. Because you've got to kind of define the market. As with any business, there's got to be a market out there that wants your content. And if you're talking about, you know, left-handed spotted condoms on Tuesdays only, it's a bit of a niche market.
Yeah, so you might.
But there is a market.
And you might be writing for yourself, and a lot of people blog for themselves.
Yes.
And that's cool. There's not every blog needs to be a money-making
spinner
or a way to get free products.
Okay, so what was your motivation to start yours? Why did you do?
Well, I started a personal blog to kind of air my stuff as a new mom. With no intention. I don't even think I knew that you could make money or get a free product or get a trip anywhere.
So that it wasn't your aim to go and get a free product.
No, definitely not.
It was
not.
Just to put stuff out there.
To get a network of friends and just as a creative outlet, I guess. As cliched as that sounds.
Okay, but isn't that authentic then?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. It's what I wanted to do, and you know, it was subject matter that I didn't dread writing about every week. And that's something I tell people as well. They're like, what do I blog about? Well, blog about anything that you feel care about, or that's not going. You're not going to think, oh crap, I have to write another blog post. It shouldn't be like that.
It shouldn't be like that.
And if it is like that, it might not be the right blog or subject matter.
Okay, so I mean, a lot of people during kind of New Year's have said, like, oh, this year's the year. I'm going to make some changes in my life. I want additional income, and I want to kind of go in a different directions. So, I mean, the startup cost as such of a blog are actually very minuscule.
It's pretty much your bandwidth.
Pretty much your bandwidth.
Yeah, right? Or data.
Okay. So, I mean, you can go to something like WordPress.com. WordPress.com. There's other sites. There's Blogger.com. I mean, there's a whole host of them. I just like WordPress as the platform.
Yeah, and I think from what I've read, the latest stats is around 70% of blog users use WordPress.
Okay.
So it's easy. It's free initially. It's pretty awesome. And you don't have to be a coder to learn how to work it.
So I think that's the idea is to go out there, click on the button that says create a blog and take that first step. Once you've taken that first step, and you're starting to define what you're writing for and what's the content and who is the audience, it will work itself out.
Yeah.
I mean, if I look at my very first post, I shudder.
Are you okay. Okay, what was it?
I don't know. I don't want to go back.
And
there.
Was the layout bad, pictures bad, yeah. Headline bad?
See, I started my blog very much like you did, for a personal reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so my one was I was tired of repeating the same things again and again to my consulting clients. So what I did was I just wrote the solution to a problem, wrote it online and said, hey, see attached link. Okay. So it was selfish of me because I just didn't want to kind of go in and repeat everything again and again and again. So if the idea is to, I made it personal and therefore it wasn't an issue to write more and more and more because it was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore writing a post now is just, I'm going to do it anyway. I want to do it.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So that's the point. You started with something you love. And
yes.
I would suggest to anyone, start with what you love. If you want to blog about your breakfast, if you want to blog about your dog's development, you know, the weather in China, if that's what you love, go for it. I don't think there should be a rule around that.
No, I agree. And I think if you love it, you've got to assume that other people will love it. I mean, I saw an entire blog dedicated – okay, no, this is serious – dedicated to lifts, elevators, a lot of things that go up and down. Okay, so there's YouTube clips – of elevators around the world.
And of people in them?
Nope. Just the lift going up and then down and then back up again.
Aside from you, has anyone read this blog or watched the clips?
22,000 YouTube subscribers are getting notified every time there's a new lift. Okay.
That is so fascinating. No, but that's interesting.
Okay,
it shows
about
that
niche,
there's
right?
an interest for like a lot of creepy or weird or mundane things.
Well, see, what we might think is a bit cooked, somebody else might say, oh, my God, best
thing
idea
awesome.
Ever.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sitting here in my office, and I can't see lifts in Hong Kong, but now I can. Okay. So I suppose you've got to cater to all people. So
listen, I would love to start a blog on conversations in lifts, or that awkwardness.
Or that farting in the lift thing.
Or you don't want someone to share a lift with you, so you try and close it, and then they open it just in time.
Listen, I mean,
lifts are hell.
But three topics off the bat. We haven't even started. So the idea with the blogging is that if you dig it, you'll be able to translate it into your writing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always kind of taking flack for my spelling and grammar and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's not great.
Anyway,
sorry.
Tanya is now leaving the building. but the idea is that when I write for a printed publication, that I'm much, you know, that I'm more careful. Then I kind of look at everything twice, and I reread, and I edit, and I get a sub editor. When you're writing for a personal blog, it's you. It's your personality. It's how you come across. So if my commas are in the wrong places, or the apostrophe is in kind of. You know, it is what it is. As long as it doesn't change the content, the context.
Yeah.
It's like, I help Uncle Jack off a horse. If you put the comma in the wrong place, it can kind of sound across, wrong. But the idea is that it's a voice.
And also, the beauty of it is you can change it.
100%.
Okay, so maybe 100 people have seen, but you can change it. I once made two quite creepy, disturbing mistakes. I blogged to my son, and I kept on calling him by the dog's name. So I was calling my son Max Rex.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure how many people saw it before someone kindly alerted me that I'd called my son Rex. I put it down to sleeplessness. And then another one I did, it was a blog post for Lucozade.
Right.
And I called it Energade. Because, you know, the jades are just really, really confusing. But fortunately, some good person alerted me to it, and I could change it. It's not like it was printed 100,000 times.
Exactly that. You can go in real time and just make one change, make an update, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
We actually got a comment here on Twitter. On Chris H has sent a message saying, blogging keeps people interested with newly generated content. Regurgitating content equals yuck. So I think the point he's making is that PR companies send out press releases, you know, a million times a day. And there's a lot of people who simply take the press release, copy and paste it, upload it to the web and go, hey, look at me, I'm news, woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm sorry, we all see through that rubbish. We know that it's copied and paste stuff. And especially if it's the same comment being made by lots of people.
Yeah, I hear you.
We're all there. I think, you know, blogging is evolving to is that it's all about content. And it's all about context as well as content. So, you know, a whole bunch of information that's not relevant to South Africa, you know, we'll see that as rubbish and we ignore it. And especially if it comes across very much as a paid-for post or advertorial. You know, we don't want that. If I want to know advice about the latest device, latest iPhone, the latest iPad, the latest whatever, I want real advice. Nothing's 100% perfect. Nothing's 100% rubbish. There's some ways I'd like certain things. You'd like other things. But somebody's got to give you a real, authentic voice. And that's what bloggers are all about. Well, those that matter, at least.
I disagree with you on the paid-for posts.
On what point?
So, I know, I mean, I'm one of those who gets paid to write stuff. Okay. And it's always in my own words. I would never write for anything that I don't, product that I don't love. And I quite respect bloggers who write kind of advertorials because it's always their own voice, unless they're copying it from a press release.
That's the key message. It's not about getting paid or not getting paid because the idea is that you're writing a blog and you're going to monetize it at a point. Mm. So, fine. There's nothing wrong with getting paid for writing. Where the issue is where people simply take whatever the company told them to say and they go, oh, yes, I'm getting paid. Therefore, I have to say that this is the most amazing thing ever. And that's the issue that I'm raising.
Yeah.
If you're saying it in your own voice and you say, look, I really dig the following, that's great. Nothing wrong with that. If you happen to put some money in your bank account, bonus. But you got to be, as long as it's authentic, as long as it's you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we live in a material world. I can't go to Standard Bank and say, hey, can't pay my bond, but hey, check my stats. Okay. He doesn't give a continental about my stats. He wants cash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You got to generate that.
Mm.
So
should we go back to basics?
I think let's start at the beginning. So if someone's listening and then going, you know what? I'm keen. I'm passionate about insert your own here. What's my steps?
Or I want to start a blog, but I don't know how to write, but I'm not creative, but I've got nothing to say.
All right. What do you do?
Everyone has something to say. You don't have to be an amazing writer. I think you exercising your brain or exercising your legs. I think the more you do it, the better you become.
Sure.
I think anyone can do it. There are no rules, and this is the amazing thing. I'm not a photographer. I'm not so creative, but I can still put together words.
But
slap on a picture.
These kind of conversations that happen at a braai.
This
is kind of the way I explain it. If someone says to you, hey, you know something about this tech, what do you think of this? And then I would go and tell them about that device.
Mm.
Okay, why not just write what you just said? Same thing. And you can refine your style over time. Now, the famous quote is, everyone's got a book in them.
Correct.
You know, it's the same thing. Is that anyone can write? And a blog post doesn't have to be 5,000 pages. In fact, it should never be 5,000 pages. Your first post should be short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah, because we've got a limited attention span online, which is quite good because that means I can write really short.
But we also have a limited attention span as well.
Yeah. Okay. What? Pardon?
So that exactly.
Where are we? What are you doing? What's your name? Yeah.
So we want to cater for that. You want to grab people's attention. So it doesn't have, you know, when you open up a page, I mean, and everybody does that. You open up a web page and you start scrolling down and scrolling and scrolling. Get to a point where you're so focused about how long the blog post is that you actually forgot about the content. Short, sweet, sweet and to the point. Lots of pictures. By the way, pictures are critical.
Yeah.
Critical, critical, critical. Because they augment what you have to say. We're very visual people. We like to see something first and then link straight to it.
Yeah.
And as soon as we see something that grabs our attention, then we don't mind spending some time on the site reading more and more information about that. So I think the idea is to start. I think the idea is to be passionate about what you're writing. So pick a topic that makes sense to you. Don't pick a topic that you think is going to make the most money later on. Because if it's a topic about, I don't know, cars, and I know nothing about cars, I'm going to struggle day in and day out. And then day in and day out is important because you've got to be consistent. You're building an audience who expects stuff from you, and they want to see it all the time. So if you're going to blog once a month, that's fine. On the first Monday of every month, you're going to do a blog post, that's fine. If you're going to do one every single day, that's also fine. But whatever you decide, you've got to stick to that.
Yeah, I agree. And also, blogging doesn't necessarily have to be about writing. You can be a photography blogger.
Sure.
You can blog jokes. You can video blog. Which is called vlogging, and that's become hugely popular, where you don't write what you want to write, you say it, or you act it out.
But listen, YouTube is hot.
I mean, yeah, YouTube absolutely.
7.2 million South Africans are online every month looking at YouTube.
Including your daughters? Well, not anymore, because you've banned it.
That was finished.
Shame.
Okay, now we're back home. ADSL rocks.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
So now they're happy again. They can watch, you know, Let It Go a million times. But it's exactly that. I mean, I'm doing a lot of YouTube stuff, and that you can express yourself differently.
Yeah.
So here we've got audio. So here we're listening to the information. On the blog, it's text. We're going to read the information. On YouTube, you're consuming it by watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pause, and you can rewind, and you can do all of that stuff that we used to. We no longer watch primetime TV at primetime or on TV, as the guy from Wired said. We watch it when we want, how we want, on any device that we wanted. We got a question and I wanted just to get your opinion on that. Could you consider being on Tumblr as being a blogger? That's an interesting one. Have you used Tumblr at all?
I have used Tumblr. It's very visual, lots of pictures, but absolutely, yeah. Definitely. It's a blog, it's a platform. Even if you're posting pictures, it's still a blog. So, yeah. Do you think so?
Yeah, I agree. But that's the whole thing about blogging. It doesn't have to be traditional. It doesn't have to be what we used to read in the newspaper being converted onto online. You know, it can be your interpretation. If your interpretation is only photos of green stuff, that's fine. That's your version. And off you go. And you're going to get a whole bunch of people who love green stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll favorite you, and they'll tweet you, and they'll want to be your bestie, and they want to hang out doing green things. But that's what people do. Not we.
Oh, my God. Not that green. I'm thinking Aero Mint, Cadbury's Bubbly Mint, and you're thinking – yeah. Anyway. Another thing –
yeah, so Tumblr, I'm cool with Tumblr.
Yeah.
I think Tumblr officially it's defined as microblogging, very much like Twitter is. But absolutely, go big.
I once started a Tumblr and I called it What's in My Goodie Bag.
Oh, nice.
So whenever I went to a function or a running race, I would take a picture of what was inside my goodie bag. But then I stopped it because some goodie bags were much better than others. And I didn't want to badmouth people through my posts with, you know, of a sparse... Yeah.
Okay, but
it was fun.
But let's talk that for a second. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. You start it, you roll with it. It either works out or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, you move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you've invested millions into setting up a business.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's the idea. I think the serious ones have got a place.
You
know, you've got the analysis and you've got the trends and you've got, you know, what's coming up and what do you need to look out for in business. You've got absolutely a place for that. But there is a place on the extreme as well. You know, you've got the fun ones, you've got the quirky ones, you've got these, you know, sporty, everything and everything else in kind of in between. Everyone, I think, has got a voice and people should,
I think so too.
Should be okay to express it.
So if someone said to you, right, I've set up my blog, I've got a title, now what? How do I get started? What are like the five top tips for, A, getting people to visit it, and then down the line making money off it?
So I think the critical one is tell people about it. Okay.
Yeah.
We forget
that. And how do you do that?
A signature on your email is very, very powerful. We send lots of mails all the time, and we normally say regards, you know, your name and cell phone number. in there add in one more line saying, have you checked out my blog? Da 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 da. And here's the URL for it. So tell people. And then once you've told them, ask them, have you visited my blog yet? Don't be shy to kind of promote yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, if Richard Branson has taught us anything, is you've got to promote yourself.
People aren't going to find your blog.
There's a bazillion, and that's a technical word, there's a bazillion sites out there. They've got to find yours.
Yeah.
They're not going to find it by accident. You need to be a reason to find it. So either you're going to write such a hot topic that absolutely everybody wants to know about, okay? Or you're going to write it at the right time or the right location. But in the meantime, tell everyone, hey guys, here's what I'm doing. Check it out.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I always say start with friends and family. So tell your friends. Tell them on Facebook. Tell them on Twitter. Tell them on Instagram. Tell them on Pinterest. You know, and tell them at your Friday night dinners or Sunday braais. Also putting your blog address on your business card. Not a terrible idea either. Once you've told people about the blog, then what? What else can one do?
Okay, so the idea is then to look at your stats, and WordPress has got its own stats, and go through it, see which posts are working, which ones are not. You could write in-depth analysis and nobody cares. You could run a fun, quirky one, and you're getting insane views on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what? Your audience doesn't want deep analysis as much as you think that you wanted. They don't. So you can just go and use something else. Focus on what works. The nice thing about technology is that there's no magical science to this. It tells you, guys, these are the posts that I'm ranking at the top 10. These are the styles. These are the themes that are always making the top 10. Focus on those.
Yeah.
Give the audience what they want. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say great headline.
Yeah.
I think your headline that's the starting point if someone is going to open your link or not. Remember, you're competing with like 250 million other blogs.
Sure.
That headline needs to stand out.
By the way, are you a fan of kind of the short, kind of traditional newspaper stuff, as in kind of three words, attention grabbing?
No.
Or are you kind of, you happy with?
No, I do a long spiel in my headlines. Right. I'm not saying that works. I can't
look at, for
show the science stats. Okay. Yeah, it's not great.
But for SEO, funny enough, for like kind of being ranked up in Google, they actually prefer a longer title. Okay, so how to right click with your mouse at a touch of a button is much better than right clicking mouse.
Okay. Or what to do with your mouse. I would even go a step further, 10 ways to right click your mouse for a great 2015.
That kind of idea.
Yeah. Great headline, content.
Always. Your content is gonna set you apart. If you're gonna be more of the same, then why should they read with you when they can read by a professional team that does nothing else but kind of post?
Yeah.
You know, they need to be able to do something. I think let's take a 2 seconds break just to kind of catch a breather as well. And then we'll be back when we're back after that. Sure, that was AC/DC Rock or Bust. So we went from Jack Parrow to AC/DC. We are rocking it properly this morning. All right, we're waiting for a quick guest who's apparently around the corner, Quinton. We're going to talk about programming and development. But before we kind of get him in here, I'm sure he's going to be huffing and puffing from his jug into studio. Brandon Kruger on WeChat sent us a link to his blog. No, so we talk about self-promotion, and don't be afraid to tell everyone, Brandon, good call. So his blog is bkps4.blogspot.com/2014/12/psn-download.html. Brandon, if you're around, don't you want to give us a call? 0861-555-189. Again, 0861-555-189, and we can chat to you on air. And we can kind of go through your blogs, your blog as well. So, that was the whole thing about promotion, right? And I think once you've done all those steps and you've got an audience, at that stage, you'll either be recognized by the brands
yeah.
that are out there. Okay. Or you then do the next step is you go to the brands directly and say, hey, look at me. I'm over here. Here is my audience. Here is what I speak about. Can we do some work together?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget from a brand's point of view. And by brands, we're obviously talking about the big companies, the corporates. You know, they're looking for exposure. They want their product out there. So if you are the guy that people go to talk about green photography and they have got a green product, you guys have a match. Then you go to them and you say, look, here's my audience. This is how many people I get. This is who views my site. But most importantly, this is how long people spend on my site. They don't just hit it and then go away.
Mm.
They actually engage with me. They tweet, they read, they post comments. And that's what a brand wants. And once you do that, then you can start asking for things like a review product. You can ask for, you know, can I be included on your mailers? Do you mind sending me information? And if you do it in a nice, humble kind of way,
yeah,
and you're authentic, then people will help you. People will get to that level.
Yeah, that's the key. And I'm seeing so much of it. Like, I'm, you know, John Smith. I've got 20 gazillion viewers. Please, can I have this to review? I want. And I don't think that's the best way to approach, especially as a newbie. Even if you're established, you know, be humble. Ask what you can do first. And work with people, not, you know, don't be too demanding or too arrogant. No one owes you anything.
But that's the key point here. Just because you have a blog and just because you have an audience, so what?
Yeah.
Okay. If you walk into someone and say, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
That kind of attitude. There's lots of you, with respect. There's lots of you. Then brands will choose to be associated with those that they care about and care about their products.
Yeah.
Not those who want free meat.
Yeah, and those who are ethical and humble and nice and who produce good content with a good-looking site, I think. That's my opinion.
It seems to work well.
It seems to work.
You know. Okay, so and then part of the thing, I suppose, with your blogging, sometimes you are going to have to do some coding. Sometimes you might need to kind of change the default look and feel of the site. You might need to make it do something very specific because a brand wants you to do something very, very specific. And to talk to us about that, we've got Quentin Watts. I think we had a timing misunderstanding.
Yeah.
My stuff up. Okay. But you still made it to the studio. You see, now that's commitment. Now that's commitment.
And he's not even breathless or sweating.
No, nothing. Which is quite irritating on a scale of 1 to 3. So Quentin, what Quentin does is that he provides free educational videos on programming, basically web development. Quentin, first of all, you got your breath. Are you okay?
Yeah,
you
cool? I'm good.
All right, cool. So let's just talk about that for a second. You know, people hear development and they hear coding and they immediately barriers go up and they go, oh my God, that's the geekiest thing.
Only three
people in the world can do it. Is that the case?
No. Coding is quite easy and it's, a lot of it is, will look a lot like English once you learn the syntax. Now, syntax is just like fancy word for what code looks like, basically. Yeah.
Okay. So mm-hmm. Can anybody do it?
Yeah, pretty much anyone could do coding. It's just you need to get into the right thought train. So you need to learn how to think, and basically anyone could do it.
Okay, so let's take a situation where somebody has got a specific requirement, right?
Yeah.
Typically, they would go out to the market, they would go out to a development house, and then they would say, look, I need you to build A, B, and C. Okay, that's still the way to go. If you are a newbie, you've never touched any of the stuff, that is right. My question is, if you're starting out, and we're talking about career changes in 2015, and you're trying to do something new and something different, would you say that coding and development is something that people should be looking at?
Yeah, no, look, coding is definitely, if you want to work for yourself, running your own website or something like that from home, then definitely coding is definitely the way to go. There's a lot that you can do.
Okay.
And, literally, it's like a creative career. So if you can think creatively, you can create what you want to do as a website or something. And then obviously you just need to grow your audience and get your audience to your site to make the money.
Okay, there's lots. You always hear about something called like programming languages.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose like real languages. There's lots of them, and different people speak different language. How does that translate into code? Why? I mean, would you prefer one language over another? How does that work out?
Well, it actually depends, because with programming languages, like, there'll be the right language for the job.
Okay.
So you're not going to, like, choose one language over the other in most cases. Like, but for web, which is what I deal with mostly,
okay,
you need a server-side language, which is a language that's going to run on the server,
okay,
on your server, and that would be PHP. But then you've got languages that have to run on the client side, which is your Google Chrome web browser, Firefox web browser, and there you'd have to learn a client-side scripting language, which would be JavaScript or a JavaScript library like jQuery.
Okay, so all of this, I mean, when people are trying to understand it, you're obviously the founder of Josie Tuts.
Yeah.
And
which I just started last week. So,
okay, yeah. I mean, but you've had, I mean, you've had a YouTube audience before.
Yeah,
and you've
for
had
about 2 years. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about that. What is there?
Okay, so basically, I provide free programming tutorials to anyone on YouTube, and if you want to learn how to create web pages, just static web pages, then you can learn HTML and CSS, and that's actually like where I recommend everyone would start off, because if you're going to be working with a blog like WordPress or Joomla or CMS like Joomla, then you need to know HTML and CSS, because that is the language that your web browser understands. So that's the language that Google Chrome, Firefox,
they get.
They use that to display.
Got it.
The
okay.
The information.
And the question that's coming on WeChat, and I suppose for South Africa, it's quite important.
Mm-hmm.
Can you code in all 11 official languages? In other words, for example, Zulu, for instance. I don't know. Is there an answer for that? I mean, can you? I know you could make the display.
Yeah, no, you
appear.
Could display it, but
is the actual language only English?
Mostly. The problem is it's. Even though it looks like English, it's not really English,
right,
if I put it that way. Okay, so you're not going to just see like an entire sentence, but you will see something called a statement, which technically is a sentence. And then let's say you wanted to print something out on the screen. Then you might say print and then this line,
then
whichever you want to print. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, the output, I suppose, what people see, you can make into other languages.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But
can
the coding
it.
Behind it, okay, so I think that's the distinction. The actual writing of the code is in English, but the what is this physically displayed to the user, that could be in multiple languages. Okay, so if people want to find out where Josie Tuts, how do they do it, where do they go, what's the YouTube URL?
Okay, so the YouTube URL, that's where everything started. That is www.youtube.com/QuintonWatts. So that is capital Q, capital W, and Quinton is spelled Q-U-E-N-T-I-N.
Okay.
If you guys need links to my social channels and everything like that, I've actually set up a website called Josie Tuts, which is www.josietuts.com, and that's J-O-Z-I-T-U-T-S. And that's actually still under construction at the moment. I only really started it about 2 weeks ago, but I've put up a splash page with links to my YouTube channel.
It's got all your links there.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Cool. So I think in light of our kind of discussion, changing careers, it's definitely something that people should be checking out to be able to see, well, look, you know, maybe I can do it. You know, there's a big misconception that you cannot do it. It's only serious geeks who know ones and zeros, and they can do it.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, check it out on josietuts.com. And then go to the channel, check it out, do a step by step. I've seen the videos. It's very, very easy to do, and you just got to do it effectively. Like we said with the blogs, you just got to get started, right?
So I've got two questions. Firstly, what system would I need to learn how to code? Quick one. Do I need a PC, Mac? Can I do it on any machine?
Okay, you can do it on any machine. Basically, as long as your computer can run a web browser like Google Chrome,
okay,
then you're fine. Then you also need a text editor. So if you're using a blogging system like WordPress, you've actually got your editor built into WordPress. But if you're going to be coding your site yourself, you have to use a text editor. And there's a whole bunch of different text editors out there. So there's Google Chrome. Google Chrome. There's Notepad++. There's Dreamweaver, if you want to use the Adobe software and things like that. So there's a whole bunch of options you can choose from.
Cool.
Yeah.
Your videos look really easy. I've always been intimidated by it, but I think, well, now I can do it and maybe add those changes to my blog that I'd never could do in the past.
Mm-hmm. All right, sure. So, I mean, we've had a bit of a show, a bit of a packed, an hour went past quite quickly. Mm-hmm. Quinlan, thanks for popping in, even though I stuffed up the time. but I think the message is there. Don't be afraid. I think that's the bottom line. If you're trying to get into blogging, you're trying to get into development, if you're trying to make a change for the year, just do it. You've got to get out there. You've got to start. And you know what? If you stuff up, you make the changes as you go along. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Guys, on Brandon, shout out to you for on WeChat for keeping us entertained. I think we'll see you at the next show on Talking Tech every Monday between 10 and 11. Well, be good.